Anybody's Christmas tree up yet? Fantastic, fantastic. Anybody no tree up yet? It's still in the waiting. Anybody no tree this year? No tree, okay. But what an amazing season as we journey together as a church towards Christmas. The word Advent, you probably know this, I'm going to say it anyway, whether we know it or not. The word Advent is a version of a Latin term which means coming. So while we are in the waiting, the answer is coming. While the world was in waiting, the very first Christmas, Jesus was coming. Hallelujah. So we're going to use these weeks here at BHBC leading up to Christmas as a chance to look forward to our celebration, celebrating our Lord and our Savior, the Messiah, the light of the world, our Savior. And Advent is a season of great expectation. And I'm glad that we are all here this morning as we embark on our journey. Actually, I'd like to say in faith, it's going to be an epic journey this year. A journey which began more than 2,000 years ago. As we follow the star this year and discover Jesus, the light of the world. And rediscover Jesus, the light of the world. It's my prayer that as we journey, that the Lord will capture our heart and our soul. That we would fall in love with the Lord Jesus all over again. And that He'd work in our heart and that our hearts will be open to Him. Same with our soul. What do we mean by our soul? It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. That the hope of Christmas will shine into our minds, will shine into our wills, which can be a little bit stubborn sometimes, and into our emotions. That our emotions may align themselves with God's word and with God's truth rather than with the flesh. And may this be a time of realignment, a time of great expectation as we journey throughout Advent. And may we rediscover the hope, the love, the joy, the peace which Jesus brings us. And we all need hope, don't we? We all need hope. Wherever we are in our lives, we need hope. And I spoke a bit about hope last week, saying that humankind has survived the most terrible of atrocities because they've had hope. We take hope away, what are we left with? We're left with nothing. A person on their sick bed, if they have hope, even doctors tell us, they stand a fighting chance. Hope. Take hope away and we are hopeless. Jesus is still the hope of the nations. Jesus is still our personal hope in our lives. You may be in a storm. He's your hope in your storm. He's the love that never gives up on you. We all need fresh joy at times. We all need peace, no matter what we are facing or dealing with. Let's go on an epic journey this Advent as we discover the star, the journey to Christmas. Now, I have a video clip, and let's hope it works in our technology this morning. Here we go. the Star of Bethlehem has taken a central theme in our story of Christmas throughout the ages, hasn't it? We've got stars up there this morning on the wall, up here at the platform. As I look out, I see a Christmas tree right in front of me in the foyer with a star on the top. I'm sure you have many memories from childhood of perhaps placing a star at the top of the Christmas tree. Maybe your family was a bit like my family. We were all keen and very eager as three brothers as to who was actually going to get a chance to put the star at the top of the tree. And if my mum left us to our own devices, the tree would have probably been destroyed in the process. You know, it would have been a chaotic moment. All those beautiful decorations and baubles and nativity scene and train sets around the tree would have all gone crashing down, you know, in a moment of sheer hopelessness and chaos. So, good on mum. We all got a turn. One of us got a turn rotationally each year to put the star on top of the tree. I'm sure it was a lot more peaceful out in the foyer yesterday putting the star. Who actually put the star on the top? You, fantastic. The mention of the star in the Bible is really very brief. We only find it in one of the Gospels. In fact, it's only found in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 2. And there's much discussion by scholars as well as scientists about what the star actually was. And who were these wise men? And what was that cosmic event really all about as the star appeared and took place and led those wise men? Many debates going on, but folks, apart from the debates that go on, there remains the truth that the light of the star led people to Jesus. Even if they were still on their journey when Jesus was born. In fact, most scholars place the wise men showing up a few months after the birth of Jesus, all the way up to a year after his birth. Maybe we can say better late than ever. But as we embark on Advent, yeah, at BHBC this season, I want to encourage all of us to look to Jesus as the true light. In our everyday lives, in the big events of our lives, in the mundane events of our lives, in the joyful events of our lives and sheer bliss and happiness, as well as in the painful events of our lives, we can look to Jesus. And in Jesus, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. He always breathes life and hope into our lives. And as we'll explore this Advent, it's a time to prepare. It's a time to pause. It's a time to ponder. I think these words, probably in a modern 21st century society, we're not very good at these words sometimes. Pause. Maybe the only pause you know is on the television remote control. And you pause the program while you top up the popcorn. But pause in life. Ponder, wait. And thank you to Andrew and the worship team for choosing amazing songs this morning that actually spoke through this message so well. And Pam for being obedient to the Lord. You actually preached the sermon before we got to it. Amazing. To show that the Lord is at work. And we had a variety of songs this morning. Even a homegrown song. Isn't that exciting? We live hectic and stressful lives in our culture, don't we? We like to be busy, 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 and on the go, on the go, on the go. And nothing seems to be fast enough. I mean, there's a TV advert that you can order your goods today and they will still arrive today. I mean, goodness gracious. And we thought Santa Claus was fictitious with his sleigh. You know, I mean, how amazing is that? You need a new coffee table, you decide at 10 in the morning and there it arrives 8 that evening. How quick can that be? Fast food, the food's waiting for you. You don't have to wait for the food anymore. Pause, ponder, wait. No matter where you find yourself today, I want to invite you into this journey. Think about the people who are part of the first journey. We have a whole cast of people. We have Mary, Joseph, an innkeeper, a jealous king, some wise men, common shepherds, angels, and so forth, and many, many more. And while the pace of our lives would probably make their heads spin, each of these people in the first Christmas story had their own difficulties, had the things and issues of their lives that they were facing. They didn't have all the answers. And some of them didn't have the luxury of preparing for the first Christmas like some of us do. I mean, I know some of you are all into the preparation, aren't you? Everything is so well prepared that this year's Christmas gifts were already bought at last year's sales. I mean, how's that for preparation? The fantastic Boxing Day sales preparation for the next Christmas. But many in the first Christmas story didn't have the luxury of being prepared. They didn't understand, perhaps, what was happening, even when the angels appeared to them or a star guided their path. But all of the Christmas story cast did one thing, and they all had one thing in common. No matter where they were at, no matter how much or how little they understood, they all accepted the invitation. And allow me to encourage you to accept the invitation that God Himself gives to all mankind. The invitation of the hope, the love, the joy, the peace, the new life, the abundant life that John 10 verse 10 talks about, which only Jesus Christ can give to us. Friends, will you at least say yes to the journey? Will you peer through the darkness of your own life? Will you look for the glimmer of hope? Will you step towards the light of Jesus, even if everything seems cloudy? Will you step towards the light of Jesus, even if the waters appear to be muddy? Will you journey towards Bethlehem, drawn by the hope that we find in Jesus, the love, the joy, the peace that await? Perhaps that is difficult for some of us. Does your night seem really dark? Is your Christmas season perhaps overwhelmed with struggles? Numerous struggles, financial stress, relational dysfunctions, memories of loss. Are we suffering with commercialized expectations put upon us? And if we have to be really honest, I suppose at some point we've all been somewhere there. And maybe you are somewhere there now. But like we've been singing this morning, He is in the waiting. He is in the waiting. Let me encourage you that you can follow Jesus. And it's in the darkest of nights that His light shines the brightest. And we can purposefully and deliberately anticipate the hope of Jesus this Advent season. I'd like to suggest that we start by doing the first thing. And the first thing that's going to come up on the screen is acknowledge the darkness. Acknowledge the darkness. You know, as a Christian, we are called to walk by faith, but not in denial. There's a difference between walking in faith and walking in denial. Faith acknowledges the facts, but it also acknowledges the one who holds the keys of life and death. Whatever your facts are this Christmas, we can have faith in the midst of everything. Now, I have a little torch up here. You have to switch this torch on. Right now it doesn't look very exciting, does it? It's like, wow, is that all you can do for a preaching special effect? So my special effects perhaps have failed somewhat up here this morning. Now imagine, if you will, that this room was completely dark. Completely dark. We are at the midnight service and it's completely dark. And we were reliant on this little light of this little torch to get us to a place of safety. All of a sudden, this little light got a lot brighter. And it would probably get us out of the building all okay without necessarily stumbling over the pews or each other. Surrounded by darkness, we would see this light shine a lot brighter. It would suddenly look a lot brighter. And it could make the difference in us finding our way out okay. And it's amazing that God chose a star to lead the wise men. Throughout the Bible, we see how God uses His own creation to reveal Himself to us. The psalmist put it beautifully in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. And I read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge." They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the nations, their words to the ends of the earth. Look at Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you can care for them?" God's glory is seen in the stars. God's glory, it's called natural revelation. God's glory is seen in nature. But the thing about the stars is that they can't be seen in the daylight. Just like this little torch failed and faded into insignificance amongst all our lights, yeah? So the stars can't be seen during the daytime. Of course, talking about the stars, I am reminded that the stars are on a much more celestial scale than this little torch here this morning. The stars are there, but we can't see them during the daytime. In fact, they are seen best on the darkest of nights, when there's not even any moonlight, and away from the light of the city. The darker the setting, the brighter the stars shine. Now, I'm sure you've seen some magnificent star light at night. Back in South Africa, we've seen magnificent. I mean, you can't just believe. You just look up and the sky is just full of the glory, of the splendor of God's creation. It's amazing. Likewise, over our summer holidays in recent years in Cornwall, we've seen some amazing stars at night. And I'll never forget one summer in Cornwall. We're all outside and we're looking up at the stars, and the kids decided they were going to lie on the grass in front of our little chalet that we got for that summer. And they lay and they looked at the stars and they spontaneously started singing the Chris Tomlin song, Indescribable. And here's what these two little precious kids were singing as they looked up at God's creation. Spontaneously they sang, "You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God, all-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing God." And they just repeated that over and over and over again with all sorts of harmonies going on, but they were awestruck in wonder. This time of year, the glitz of Christmas can artificially light our lives. Or we may seek out our own fake distractions to ignore the gnawing darkness within. It's when we acknowledge the darkness that we can see the star the brightest. And as we journey towards to Christmas, this Advent, let's be honest about the darkness in the world. But let's also, if I may, encourage us and challenge us at the same time, let's also be honest about the darkness within. Let's be honest about the darkness of our own situations in our lives, within our hearts, within our worlds, that may bring fear into our lives. You may feel you are in a very dark place this morning. You may feel that the Lord has forgotten you. And many people feel that way. If the Lord is God, why has He allowed these things to happen to me? If the Lord is God, why doesn't He just remove the darkness in our lives? It's in the waiting. It's in the preparation. And I know that this can sometimes sound cliche. You know, sometimes when you go through a difficult time, the last thing you want to hear from a Christian brother or sister is, take courage, God's just building your character. Oh, great, here we go again. But isn't it true? And you may find yourself in a dark world. Jesus was sent into a dark world. Throughout the Bible, God's people have always been surrounded by darkness. But they're not called to become one with the darkness. They are called to step out and be the light, be the star, be the voice of hope, be the voice of encouragement like we heard about last week. Be the voice of the love of the Lord in our lives. Have you ever considered that when you are in a dark situation, when I'm in a dark situation, that may be precisely where God wants you? You know, I know ministry for many people looks glamorous. You know, growing up in the church world, you know, seeing a preacher get up there and preach, being involved in churches with lots of international speakers and they fly all over the world, and it all looks very glamorous. But even those who fly all over the world will tell you, all you see is the auditorium you preach in and your hotel room. It's not as glamorous as what it looks. Even ministry is filled with difficult times and dark moments and things that seem overwhelming. But it's in the darkness that the light of Jesus, our Savior, shines the brightest. People often say, well, if only I can, you know, step out of my everyday job and do something in ministry. Whether you are in an everyday job or ministry, God doesn't see any of that when we're Christians as everyday. Everything we do is ministry. And whether you're in an everyday job, if that's what you want to call it, or in ministry, which is just another everyday job, there will be dark times in both. Struggles in both. It's called life. It's called life. And this Advent, let's be honest. Let's acknowledge that there is darkness. There's some darkness out there which we can do very little about. But we can start with darkness within. We can start with darkness around and start shining the light. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah talked about a light that was coming into the present darkness. And believe you me, they had to wait a long time, hundreds of years, for the fulfillment of that prophecy. Look at Isaiah 9 verse 2. It's up on the screen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You may feel like you are in deep darkness right now. Take courage. Acknowledge it. Yes, I'm in darkness. We're not superstitious as Christians. We don't have to touch wood or touch this or touch that or whatever people do.
We have the cross of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. The life of Jesus. Acknowledge. Acknowledge where you are at. You know, folks, the people that lived in Israel at that time lived in a space called the in-between times. The time between the fulfillment and the promise. And theologically speaking, when we look at eschatology, that's the study of the end times, we are still in in-between times. The kingdom of God has come. We will not refute that as Christians, but it is also has also not yet come. It's still to come in greater light, in greater glory, in greater power. And we are still living in dark times, but we can have the light and the hope of Jesus in us. We have the Holy Spirit within us that will fan into flame even the smallest spark. Folks, you may feel hopeless this morning, but even if there's the smallest spark of hope in you, believe me, the Holy Spirit can do business with that small spark and fan it into flame. Next, I want to say, embrace the wait. Not very popular in today's world. Who likes waiting? Please don't put up your hand. And sometimes we have to wait. We've got to wait for a doctor's appointment. You've got to wait at A&E. You've got to wait. Are we there yet? I think sometimes you sit in service and think, are we there yet? In our Christian lives, are we there yet? We live in a culture that does everything possible to reduce the amount of time we spend waiting. I don't think any of us would do very well living in the days of the Israelites. The people of Israel in the Bible knew a lot about waiting. Ever since Genesis, when sin first entered the world, we see God offered the promise of hope. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. In theological terms, called the proto-evangel, the prototype of God coming into the world, where God said that he would curse the serpent that tempted Eve and said that through her offspring will come the one that will crush the serpent. Jesus. Jesus foretold way back in Genesis. God had a plan of hope. But God's plan is often constrained within our own time. And sometimes, if we have to be really honest, it feels like this waiting is taking forever. Does it feel like that to you? Lord, I've been waiting forever. Look, I don't think we know what forever. I think God has an idea of what forever is about. I mean, he has forever been there, and he will forever be there. Imagine, if you will, a farmer standing on the dry soil of a parched field, a hopeless situation, and looking up to the sky. Years of drought have robbed him and taken everything from him. He has lost hope. But then, in the distance, he hears the rumble of thunder, the promise, the first promise of rain. That is the image John the Baptist gave of himself. When people asked him if he was the Messiah, no, he was not, but he was the one announcing the arrival of the long-awaited one. This is how the Message translation puts John 1 verse 23. John speaking, I'm the thunder in the desert. Make the road straight for God, he cried. Maybe you are in a hopeless situation. May I encourage you, listen out for the thunder. Listen out for the thunder in the desert. God's not going to leave you there forever. But Advent is a time of waiting. While it feels unnatural, God thinks there's great benefit to waiting and anticipating what he can do and will do in our lives. But we are still waiting. We're not waiting for the birth of the Messiah. But we are watching and we are waiting. We are watching and we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, his second coming. Revelation 7, 9 and 16 and 17. After this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They shall hunger no more, their thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in their midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We are in the space between the already and the not yet, and that's the challenge of our times. And lastly, before we get to lastly, just to read Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Family, we can be confident in the waiting when we have faith. How much faith do we need? Size of a mustard seed. And lastly, I'm going to use my last point as the conclusion as well this morning. Commit to the journey. You know, I don't know about you, but when I think about waiting, when I hear the word waiting, I think of people sitting around doing nothing. But we don't see that that's the biblical definition of waiting. In the Bible, we see that waiting is not passive. We see that waiting is not doing nothing. We wait with expectant hearts, and we constantly and continually move forward in our journey, even in our waiting. It makes sense. We press towards the goal. It makes sense. We don't become stagnant as Christians. Even in our waiting, we keep moving. So we've got to commit to the journey. There's a priest, professor, writer, and theologian by the name of Henry Nouwen. And he describes waiting in Scripture as very active. Here's what he has to say, and I quote Henry Nouwen. In waiting for God, he wrote, active waiting means to be present fully to the moment. Active waiting means to be present fully to the moment. In the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. In the conviction that something is happening where you are and you want to be present to it. What an excellent description of waiting. It's being active, present in the moment. God never gives us an escape hatch from our situations, but He will be there with us through it and won't give us more than we can handle or endure. We are present in the moment. While anticipating, we keep going. That's not easy. It takes strength. It takes a whole lot of faith to do that. But we can draw from our source of hope. The psalmist encouraged us in Psalm 31:24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. All you who hope in the Lord, be strong and take heart. So what does this look like in real life, in conclusion? Today, in your life, in my life. And I think Peter helps us out a little bit in 1 Peter 1:13. Where he wrote, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. Can you see the waiting in that? We've got to set our minds on the grace that will be revealed to us at Jesus Christ at His coming, talking about the second coming. But how do we do this? By being alert. And fully sober. Isn't it interesting that he didn't say partially sober? Fully sober. Alert and fully sober. Hope is about waiting, but that waiting involves a commitment to being present in our journey. And that means it's still a journey of obedience. Lord, in my waiting, help me journey forward by obeying you. Help me to be alert. Help me to be sober. These words that Peter used, alert and sober, are words of expectation and active anticipation. The good news in all of this is that wherever you are at on the journey, it's okay. God can shine his light. God can pick you up with his hope. And Advent reminds us that this is not about our own human timing. This is about God's timing. In the fullness of time, the scriptures tell us, God sent forth his Son. In the fullness of time. Advent, it's not about a deadline that we've got to be prepared for. Although Christmas is on the 25th of December, or our worldly system has put Christmas on the 25th of December, that's another story, we won't go there now. But we work to a deadline, and we are a deadline people. But God's journey in our lives, there is one ultimate deadline coming, the second coming, the judgment. That's the deadline we can't get out of. But however you may feel this morning that you've slipped up or messed up, I'd encourage you. There is hope for you. It's about preparing. And how do we start this? You just have to show up and be willing to be led by the Lord. I don't know about you, I can do the showing up. Even on a Sunday, we can do the showing up. And we can start to connect with God through worship and be led by Him through the Word. We can just show up. God's timing is perfect. God is never late. He's never late. I know we feel that He could be a little bit earlier sometimes, but He's never late. And all His ways are perfect. And He can ultimately bring us life and healing through His Son, Jesus. And that is a reason for hope. And this hope will fuel your journey throughout Advent and beyond. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that you enter into the darkness of our world and our hearts with your light and your hope. Help us during this season of Advent to live with expectant hope as we wait for your fulfilled promises to come about. And we look forward to celebrating Christmas and the birth of Jesus together. But we also look forward to the complete fulfillment of hope when Christ comes again. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, maybe you would just like to put your hope in Jesus once again. You love Jesus and He knows that, and you're a child of God. But maybe you need to acknowledge the darkness. But darkness will not win. Jesus has already won the victory. Maybe you are living in a dark situation. Jesus has already won. Live in that hope in the midst of darkness. Allow His light to shine. Embrace the wait. Embrace the wait. We are in between times. Embrace the wait. And commit to the journey. Be active in serving God and obeying Him in your waiting. Maybe you'd like to reflect on some of those thoughts and concepts. I'm going to give you a minute just to do that in silence. now, while every eye is closed and head is bowed, an opportunity for those who have, maybe you know in your heart of heart, that you've slipped away from the Lord, and you want Him to bring you out of the darkness back into His light. Maybe you've done this before, maybe you've never done it before. It's simply acknowledging that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And you're going to say that to the Lord, "Lord, I need You, I'm a sinner. Please come into my life. I want to be a child of God." And you acknowledge His death on the cross and His resurrection. If that's you, pray this prayer in your heart. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me a sinner. I no longer want to live in darkness, but desire to live in Your light. I believe You died for me on the cross and rose again from the dead, and I now receive Your forgiveness of sin. Please come into my life. I want to be a child of God." Just think about what you prayed. If you prayed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I do have a little booklet I'd like to give you, and I'd like to remember you my prayers this week. If you prayed that prayer this morning, either for the first time or as a recommitment, you've done it again, we know that heaven rejoices. Could you just simply raise your hand while no one's looking around and say, "That's me. Please remember me in your prayers this week." Just really quickly. Anybody like that here this morning? Right in the back row, God bless you. Anyone else? Back row, God bless you. Anybody else? Thank You, Lord, for the two people who responded. May Your light shine brightly upon and within them this Christmas and beyond. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anybody feels you still need some additional prayer, our prayer ministry team will be on duty after the service. Just kindly make your way to